Take your Bible, Matthew chapter 5.
Thank you, Fern, and thank you. I need someone to take this for me. It's $100.
Make sure that goes to the bus, all right?
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Boy, that got me all tickled, eh, man? I know you couldn't. Tomorrow I want to talk about Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. Beatitude, amen. Dictionary says, a settled way of thinking or feeling. That's an attitude. Settled way of thinking or feeling. Or, this is the informal thought of North American, it's a self-confident, aggressive, uncooperative behavior. And some of you have seen that. I meet a lot of people with a lot of attitudes, amen, don't you? We meet a lot of people with a lot of different attitudes. Some very good attitudes. I like to be around those guys. You know, I like to be around those ladies. They're just pumping. They're excited about life. They're excited about what's going on. They're excited about getting this done. They're excited about finishing that task. You know, they're just excited about the things of life. I like to be around those kind of people. I like to be around those people. I call them, they're just kind of pinging. You know, they got sparkles in their eyes. They're just excited about what's going on. They're just kind of full throttle people. You know, they're the ones that got their guns locked and loaded. Amen. I mean, and they've got two boxes of ammo with them. I mean, they're just excited about life. Amen. I mean, a lot of people that have some good attitude. And I have some that have no attitudes. They're just, you know, wallflowers. They're spectators. They're people that just are there. In fact, you don't even know they're there. They have no attitudes at all. And then I meet some that have very bad attitudes. And hopefully God will get a hold of their heart and change them a little bit. I was reading about the hummingbird and the vulture. You say, good night. What in the world do they have in common, you know? Well, they say that hummingbirds and vultures fly over the same nation's deserts. All the vulture can see is rotting meat because that is what he's looking for. And he thrives on that kind of diet. But the hummingbird ignores the smelly flesh of dead animals and stood there looking for the colorful blossoms in the desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But the hummingbird lives on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness of life. And my friend, each bird finds what he's looking for. And so do I. I usually find what I'm looking for. That reminds me of a fellow that came into a restaurant and asked, do you serve crabs here? And the waiter said, why, certainly. Sit right down here, sir, and someone will be happy to take your order. Thank you. Finally, some of you are getting out there. Amen. The hardening of the attitude is the most deadly disease on the face of this earth, a man said. I want you to look at the Beatitudes of Christ. I would like to view them as a, may I say, like a spiritual mountain that we're climbing up. In other words, this is where and how the Christian should be climbing up and getting up to the pinnacle of life. First plateau we find is humility. This is what he said in verse 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is one of the first conscious needs of a Christian. We know when we come to Christ, there's nothing that we can get to get salvation except Jesus Christ did it for us. That's humility. A lot of people think, well, if I can do this and I can do this, and some churches and some religion preach, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and maybe if you do them all, just maybe you may luck out, get to heaven. But Jesus says, no. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes on the Father but by me. The Bible says there's no other name whereby you can get to heaven except Jesus Christ. The idea here is we take Jesus Christ by faith. We believe by faith. I've never seen Jesus. Anybody else seen Jesus around here? You know, I know sometimes Jesus, anchovies on your pizza may have a dream of a 35,000 foot Jesus, but, you know, have you ever really seen Jesus? I've never seen Jesus. I don't understand the Bible completely. I don't understand God and how that God can be three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I don't understand all that. But that's what we call faith. I believe in faith. I trust. I put my faith. Some of you came and sat on that chair. If I sat on the chair, I may think about, hope it holds me up. Amen. But we put faith. This morning you went out to your car, stuck that key in the ignition, or some of those new cars, you just push the button, I guess. And all of a sudden it starts up. Well, if you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have done it. You'd say, it's not going to start today, so I'm not even going to try. You know what? That's exactly what people do in this world. Well, I don't really know if it'll really work, so I'm not going to trust Jesus Christ. I'm not going to call on His holy name. Just because there are historical documents of Jesus Christ truly living in this earth, there's historians that talk about Jesus Christ who lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. Just because there's great things of miracles, and here's the greatest thing, when a person by faith trusts Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, says, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, forgive my sins, I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day, and He comes in your heart, all of a sudden something changes in your life. You know, the places you used to go, you don't want to go there anymore. The things you used to say, you don't want to say them anymore. There's just something inside of you saying, you know, I know there's a Christ. Because God does a great work in our hearts and our lives. So the first plateau, you might say, of the Christian life is humility. I know I cannot save myself. That's why He's called a Savior. I need a Savior. Have you ever been at a point in your life that you could not save yourself and you were in trouble and someone saved you? I was 2 years old. I thought I would practice synchronized swimming in our great big horse trough. I did the swan dive. I floated to the bottom. My sister, who is coming to see me tomorrow, they said she grabbed me down, grabbed me by my T-shirt, and pulled me out of that thing, and I come out just squalling and bawling. She saved my life. She was my Savior. A year later, I fell in the septic. My dad had uncovered it, was clean it, and I just had to get a good look at it, amen. I got more look at it than I wanted to, amen. Sharon to the rescue! Da, 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 da. She pulled me out of that. She wasn't too impressed with that. She said, you're a stinking kid. But I was 17, 18 years old, and we were swimming up at what we call the Thomas Shores, by the Thomas Shores, over by my cousin's place, Darlene's place. And in Michigan, they dammed up the Wixom Lake, and there was a drop-off, and many people have succumbed to that. My sister was out there, and she slipped and went in, and I pulled her back, swam her out of there. So I still owe her one, amen? But I was her Savior. I've been a lot of places and helped people. In Elkton, South Dakota, the firefighter and EMS, and two men were down inside these great big steel bins, and they were painting them with some kind of very, very strong paint, and they get overcome. And I put the Scott Air Pack in and went down, picked the guy up, and carried him out of there. And to this day, he says, I saved his life. We had a young couples deal down in over by Cascade, and one of our guys, we were being kind of funny, and there's a waterfall there, and I jumped in, old guy jumped in, that water was so stinking cold, you could walk on it. I kind of, one of them, you know.
Yeah.
And one of our guys in church, I didn't know, I guess he didn't know how to swim. It was 13, 14 foot deep. He jumped into that thing, and he come up just a squalling. And he went down. I seen he was in trouble. And I went in after him, got him. He grabbed a hold of me. He put me down. If you know how to save a person, you understand, you just go down further, and they'll let loose of you. And I just went down. Then when I got down, I seen him, and I shoved him up on the deal. And he's doing the way you do when you start to drown, amen. He needed a Savior. Could he save himself? No. He was in trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Spiritually, you are in great trouble if you do not have the Savior. If you haven't called out like Paul, like Peter cried out and said, Lord, save me! And Jesus put forth his hand and put him in the boat. Amen. You know, I'll tell you what, you don't have to feel, I didn't think like I'm the big dude. If I'm in trouble, I don't care who hears me, I'm going to square like a little girl. Amen. However they do it. Amen. I had three sisters. I don't know how they yell. You don't care about yourself. You don't care who you are. You don't care your name and all the... I don't care if you have all the different titles after your name. You don't care, man. You squeal like a little girl and say, I need some help. You know what? When you realize, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That are good, the Bible says, are like filthy rags. We need a Savior. We don't care who we are. We're the king or the queen or the general. I tell you what, when we realize that we are ready and banished for going to go to hell in the fiery grips of hell, you finally realize, say, you know what? I don't care my prestige. I don't care who I am. I'm humbly going to bow to a holy Savior and say, God, I need a Savior. And for most of you, some of you have done that. I have. I was 14 years old. I was a troubled teenage boy. And, boy, thank God, God saved me. And every time I think of it, almost every morning, I thank Him for saving me when I was 14. Thank God for that. Amen. The poor in spirit are happy, the Bible says. These bring their minds to their condition, the low condition. They are humble and lowly in their eyes, and they see their want and bewail their guilt, and they thirst for a Redeemer. I need a Savior. I need somebody to redeem me. And the kingdom of grace is such, and the kingdom of glory is for them. As the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's theirs. When you accept Christ as a personal Savior, you're humbly bowed before God. He said, I'll save you. Amen. Secondly, patience. This is not, penitence, not patience. Penitence. By the way, penitence is not a bad word. Some think of it because some religions use it to gain information and to gain more money. Penitence just means that one is mourning for their sins. I don't know about you, but when I sin, I just mourn. I don't like that. I don't like the sin. I don't like the sin. I don't want to sin. No, 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 I don't want to sin. Because I know it brings very good grief to me. And it also may hurt somebody else. And so I want to have penitence. The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn. They mourn. They feel so bad. And what does the Bible says? They shall be comforted. The Bible says, we ought to have penitence, or we ought to mourn for our sins. The Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a penance. Because God said when you realize you're a sinner and you ask God to forgive him your sins, and you're sorry for your sins, he said, I'll forgive you those sins. He said, for we're to repent of our sins. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Man, I'm glad about that. I don't know about you, but growing up, my life was not a very good growing up and through high school. I had some bad friends, and man, I made some bad choices. But I thank God the Lord Jesus freed me of those and cast my sins in the deepest sea, never to remember them again, as the Bible says. He said, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive your sins. That's a wonderful promise for us, for as Christians. So that's the next plateau of our life. We understand that there's forgiveness in God. There's forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Those that mourn, the Bible says, are happy. Blessed. That's the word happy. Blessed. Happy. Happy, 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 Jack. Amen. That's happy. Yeah, I know. You watch it too. I get about three of them, and that's enough for me. All right. So those that mourn are happy. That godly sorrow which worketh true repentance, that watchfulness, that humble mind, that continued dependence for the acceptance of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. With constant speaking, the Holy Spirit to cleanse away the remaining evil seems to be attended. The Holy Spirit is there to remind us. When you go to prayer, you ought to say, Dear God, is there anything in my heart and my life not right with you? Lord, help me. Show me, Lord God. Marcia, show me, Lord God. Show me. Lord, where in my heart and my life am I not walking for God? I pray two prayers when it comes to that. Number one, I pray, God, forgive me of the secret sins. David wrote about that. David said about the secret sins. There's two ways to look at it. One, it is so secret, nobody else knows it but me that I've sinned. Or two, I've done something I didn't even know I did wrong. I think that's more of the secret sin than knowing the other. I think sometimes when we do something, we may hurt somebody's feelings, or we may overstep some boundary, or we may do something that we didn't even know that it existed, or we didn't know that hurt somebody. The other night, something happened, and I went to a young lady, and I said, I had no intention to say that. And in my heart, I thought that she had taken offense about something I said. And she said, Preacher, I understand you weren't preaching that at me. I love you, preacher. But to me, I thought that hurt her. You know what? I want to give the truth, but I don't want to be stupid and hit you in the face with a baseball bat with it. I want you to see the truth, and so that you will change your mind about things you're doing. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. Paul the Apostle said, Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what Paul the Apostle said. And many times we become the enemy because this old loudmouth, leather-lunged preacher standing behind his pulpit got a microphone to help him to yell and scream at you and froth at the mouth and say, that's wrong! And it's really what the Bible says. The Bible says, preach loud and strong and hard. Paul the Apostle preached after midnight one night. I haven't tried that yet. But some of you think I have. But we want you to learn from the Word of God so that you will say, I want to live close to Jesus. I want to live close to the Lord. What does the Bible say? What's a true Christian? True Christian is visit the fatherless and the widows and needy and living unspotted from the world. I don't want the world. I don't want someone to say, You're worldly. I don't want to say that. Say, you're no different than the world. I don't want people to say that about me. The Bible says we Christians should live peculiar. I don't mean weird. It says peculiar. In other words, it's different to them. They don't understand why we don't drink and cuss and smoke and run with the girls that do and all that other kind of stuff that, you know, everybody says that's what a Christian is. A Christian is one who conforms to the way of Jesus Christ. Paul said it beautifully when he said in Philippians, let this mind be in you what was also in Christ Jesus. He said, get the mind of Christ. It's not of what you wear is going to make you a Christian. It's not what you do to make you Christian. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross gives you the privilege of becoming one of his sons. Paul the Apostle said, hey. He said, we're not to live in this world. We're to stand against the things of this world. We're to walk circumspectly. In other words, very carefully through the world. And I'll say something very crude. My mom used to say, it says, walking circumspectly. The word circumspectly means like walking through a chicken yard barefootedly. That's crude, but you kind of get it, don't you? And that's how we have to walk in this world. This world is very difficult for us to walk in. This world is very confusing. You know, yesterday I got a deal on my iPad. Somebody sent me a deal about these people that sang on the... they won the Dove Award, and they said that they don't believe the Word of God is truly the Word of God. Well, then why are you selling this? See, the problem is we got people say that they sing Christian music. They just got rock and roll music with Christian words. I don't want to walk that way. I want people to know where I'm at. People say, I don't like labels. Okay, let me go to your house today and go into your cupboard and take all the labels off your canned goods. I had a friend of mine, he got married. And one of the funny things his friends did, they went in and snuck in his house and took all the labels off the cans of this new married couple. And when she opened up and thought it was a can of peaches, it was red beans. Nothing wrong with that, amen? But anyway. Third thing is meekness. So we have humility, and we have penitence, and then we have meekness. Marking the spirit, marking the birth of the new spirit, the meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth, Jesus said. The meek are very happy people. The meek are those who quietly submit to God, who can bear insults, who can do it in silence and return a soft answer, who in their patience keep possessions of their own soul when they are scarcely keep possession of anything else. These meek ones are happy even in the world. Meekness promotes wealth and comfort and safety and even this world. To be meek. You don't always have to have an answer for everybody. You don't always have to give your opinion. You know, I really like this that you made for me, but, you know, it could have a little bit more salt. The salt's there. Just put it on there, okay? Boy, you could just have a little more seasoning in there. Put a little more hot sauce or something in it. Hey, you know what? There's the deal. Put it on, amen. You don't always have to have an opinion. Well, if I was doing it, well, first of all, you weren't doing it. And secondly, it would never got done because you never finished the job. So leave the person alone that got the job done. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Pass the biscuits or something, amen. Meekness. Meekness is a wonderful quality. Then we have spiritual appetite. Look at what the Bible says. Oh, this is good. This is good. The beatitude here signifies growth. From the time of humility of salvation to penitence, to that quiet and wonderful meek spirit, we have a spiritual appetite. This shows your growth. What is it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. What did the rest of it say? For they shall be filled. You come to my house, you're hungry. I'll make you something. I can swing on the cupboard pretty good, and I can get you something to eat, amen. You don't leave my house out being hungry. First thing I say, hey, you want something to drink? Hey, you hungry? Ask guy that yesterday. He said, no, I better not eat here. He says, because I got to go home and eat with my family. And I'm just, you know. The Bible says here, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are happy. Those who want to get as much as they can out of this Word of God, you thirst. Do you hunger for the Word of God? That's a sign of growth. As a Christian, we want a good night. It's 12. You know it's 12:08. I'm just having so much fun. I can't stand myself, amen. But when I talk about hunger, I'm thinking about the Golden Corral, amen. But anyway, folks, if you come back tonight, I'll finish the last for you, okay? If you don't come back, just stay here. I'll finish. Seriously. First of all, have you humbled yourself to the Almighty God? The God that created heaven and the earth? The God who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross so that you could go to heaven someday? Have you become humble to that fact that you need a Savior? Oh God, I need a Savior. Secondly, do you have penitence? Do you mourn over the sin that you have sinned or the hurt you've caused? Jesus says, if you do, you'll be happy. You'll be happy if you get saved. Happy day, my sins are all forgiven. Happy day, I'm on my way to heaven, amen. Boy, I tell you what, to think, to know for sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. What a blessed thought. So that's humility. Secondly, penitence. Do you mourn over your sin? That will show you're saved. Some people, they don't care if they sin. They don't care if they cheat. They don't care if they lie. They don't care anything about it. As long as it doesn't hurt them, you know, it'll be okay. But a true Christian, you know you're a Christian when you say, you know what, I really feel bad about that. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Oh, God, forgive me of my dirty, rotten sins. And third, do you have meekness? That's another proof of your salvation. You don't always have to have an opinion. Are you meek? And then fourth, the spiritual appetite. Do you hunger and thirst over this Word of God? Is there a time and a place in your life that says, I can't live without it? The other day I was so busy and I had so many things going on, and I said, God, I just got to have time, Lord, please. I need time to read your Bible and pray. Do you do that every day? You get up an hour earlier? Do you take your time? That proves your salvation because you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible says, if you do that, guess what you are? Happy, happy, happy. You're just thrilled to realize that God has something for you. You know what this book is? This book is God's love letter to you. Everything you need in life is right here. Tells you where you came from. Tells you what you're supposed to do while you're here. And tells you a place you can go. David understood it, and he said this. In Psalm 23, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He understood that. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life. That's what it's about, folks. To know for sure, beyond a shadow of doubt, you're on your way to heaven. And nothing scare you. Nothing can scare you. And you're bold as a lion because you know what? As I said many times, what's wrong with heaven? When death comes, are you afraid? What's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven? Father, I pray you'd speak to us. We thank you for Lord Jesus for the Word of God today. Lord, would you just move us and mold us in your heart and your life. Lord, if there be anyone here, Lord, may they humbly say, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I cannot do anything. I can't get myself out of this world alone. I need a Savior. heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, that's me, I need a Savior, why don't you right there whisper a prayer to Jesus, say, dear God, I humbly come to you today and I beg your salvation. I ask you to forgive me my sins. Believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. You're here today with your head bowed and eyes closed. You say, preacher, today, I have humbly come to God and I ask him right today to forgive my sins and to come into my heart and be my Savior. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you, would you just lift your hand, just put it up and down? I need a Savior. God bless you. Anyone else? Father, would you be this time of invitation? Lord, speak to our hearts as we do the most important thing of our life right now is to check in on our heart and say, Mr. Hart, how you doing? Speak to my heart today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone standing, you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. That is so important for me. It sure is. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Won't you come to Jesus today? You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me tell you what happened to me. I was 22 years old. Just been married. Just had a little baby boy. And a preacher got up named Dave Bond. He was preaching. And he said, in fact, I just talked to him yesterday. He said this. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you die, you'll go all alone. And that little baby that you're holding, and I was holding my son, you'll never see him any again. That broke me, man. I'll tell you what, that just killed me. I was so excited about having a little boy. Just having a baby. And say that I'd never see it again. That broke my heart. I drove down about 10 miles up to looked over to my wife, Marcia, and said, Marcia, I'm not sure I'm saved. She said, well, get back there to that preacher. Boy, I tell you what, I turned that car around and headed back to the preacher. He showed me some things in the Word of God that really changed my life. You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died today, I'd probably split hell wide open. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God. You hear today and you say, preacher, I am a follower of Lord and believer's baptism. I want to do that. Why don't you come? I'm here today, and preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God wants us to be. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to live the Word of God. Lord, teach us, help us to be in that Bible. Reading, that we may live more like you. Thank you for this time. Bring us back tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.